Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so excited and honored because today I have Sue Gallad with me, and she is this phenomenal powerhouse woman, and I am just, again, honored to have her today, but I'm going to have her introduce herself, and then we'll get started.
Hello, good doctor and listeners. I'm Sue Gallad. I am a Broadway nerd, so I produce theater on Broadway. My show is currently running on Moulin Rouge and Company. We have Funny Girl that's going to be opening in April. And then The Outsiders next year, and then Burlesque the year after that. So I stay busy playing for a living. And I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And I love the fact that you have done so many shows. But I'm curious, how did you get started in the Broadway scene?
Yeah, well, I was always addicted. When I was little, my mom would take me to shows. And my favorite show when I was a kid was called The Tap Dance Kid. And I told my mom, Mom, I want to be in that show. And she said, well, that seems very reasonable, Suzanne, except there are no white people in that show. And I was like, you cannot let things like that deter you. So I was a tap dancer, and I danced in Europe and on a Broadway national tour. And I loved just being part of it and creating the magic. And then I was doing a little off-Broadway show, and an agent saw me in the show and said, do you do voiceovers? Can you do voiceovers? And then when all my other friends sort of jumped to Broadway and film and TV, I went that away into commercial voiceovers. And I did that for a long time for TV, radio. It's very good for your ego, you know, or because you don't have to worry about what you're eating or if you brushed your hair that day or your teeth. But I stayed really close to the Broadway community, and my friends that I had done summer stock with and regional shows with and tours in Europe with went on to do phenomenal things, including writing shows. And when they started writing shows, it sort of made sense to produce them.
I love that. And quite the experience too, of just how you started with tap dancing as a little girl, and then the amount that you amounted to. But what do you think in that journey, because especially in the film industry and Broadway and everything along those lines, there's a lot of rejection. Same with entrepreneurship. So how did you handle that, like growing up in that world?
I love rejection. Rejection means not now. Rejection means it's not the right one for you. Every 20 auditions, you get one callback. For every 20 callbacks, you get one job. That's 399 no's before you get a yes. You know, so I will always tell anyone, when you go into that audition, you think you're auditioning for that show, but you're not. You're letting the people behind the table know who you are, so that next time they have a role that's a perfect fit for you, they already have you in their minds. So I think it's about building those relationships over time. Once you do a show and you've proven that you can show up on time and you're not crazy and you're off book and you have a positive attitude and you're really a team player, you're going to get a million more jobs without auditioning because people know they can trust you.
Absolutely. And it is really about relationship building, being able to connect that like factor, that trust factor, and just people really getting to know the inside of you based off of your personality and just how you work, your work ethic, of course. But I love that. And I think that's just, it keys into, I think, overall, our network is our net worth. And that, I'm a firm believer in that. And what would you say to that, hearing that?
I think, so our company name is In Fine Company Productions, and it's a reminder to us, to me and my producing partner, Larry, that we really want to surround ourselves with people who inspire us, with people of integrity, with people who really have our back, and we have theirs as well.
It's very true. And it's building, having that network where it's that connection to be able to grow, to be able to continue on working, but knowing that you have the best interests and the integrity behind that, because I do think that's a huge part of it.
Exactly.
So with your whole journey of entrepreneurship, what have you found to be the most rewarding around producing, but also being in front and behind the scenes of everything?
Oh my gosh, when audiences really connect with the show, when people give it a standing ovation, when people are crying in the audience, when they are profoundly moved, or, you know, when they want to come back and see it again and again and again, which we see with Moulin Rouge now, which we are trying to develop burlesque in the same way, so that the audiences, they go on that crazy journey that's just like, you know, depths of despair, fantastic catharsis, wild, crazy abandonment, laughter, all the things, all the delicious theatrical things that people have been missing the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And I think too, it's an emotional roller coaster, just being an entrepreneur, but also the plays that you produce as well, like all the emotions that somebody goes through. And I think it's able to, sometimes we don't always know what that emotion is, but we can connect to it when we see it, when somebody is exuding it. Would you agree with that?
Totally, 100%.
Love that. And through just everything that you have gone through, what are some things with producing that you've learned that have been really influential in your experience?
You know, we've jumped on shows because they sounded like a good idea, or a couple people were excited about them who we trusted. I really have to trust my own instincts. So if I don't want to see that show 8 times a week, I should not get behind that show. I just have to love it. I have to love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you are watching it. I know just from my experience, like going to plays, or like my sister is very much in the film and producing aspect. She was, but being able to go to her play sometimes, I'm like, well, some I would want to see more than others. clearly I wasn't producing them, but I agree with that. It's really being super connected and committed to something. And that's entrepreneurship as well. When we are starting a new venture, it's really being able to see it through. And so has there been any shows, you don't have to name the show, but that you were like, ooh, that was rough?
Oh, I'm happy to name the show. So learning to be a producer, it's not like going to medical school and okay, now I'm a doctor, congratulations, I've passed the MCAT and the boards. It's, you know, it's sort of self-declaration. So you jump on other people's show as a co-producer and learn that way. And the first show that I was a co-producer on was a show called Dr. Zhivago, with stunningly beautiful music and stunningly beautiful costumes. And it ran for, I don't know, 3 weeks on Broadway. And I learned a lot sitting in that room quietly about what elements need to come together to make that magical X factor, so that not just are you putting together a beautiful show, but that people want to come see it.
Absolutely. And with that, so people can understand, what's the difference between like co-producing or producing? How would you define that?
Yeah, when you're a lead producer, you are responsible for finding the property, the title, the play, the musical. You're responsible for, you identify who will be your creative team, so who will be your director, who will be your set designer, your lighting designer, who will be your social media team, your advertising team. You figure out which theater you're going to be in. You're responsible for raising the funds. You got to get it over the finish line. When you're a co-producer, you help make that happen, most notably because it's a pretty big lift to get to Broadway fiscally. As a co-producer, you commit to raising a certain amount of money, and then you get to sit at the table and listen as the decisions are being made. Sometimes co-producers have specific skills that they also bring to the table. For example, we're really good at bringing in groups and being able to market the shows, so that can be helpful in addition to raising funds. But when you're a co-producer, you are on someone else's show and learning from their decision making, and that's invaluable. And we all jump, many of us in the community jump on each other's shows, because you really can't do it alone on Broadway.
And it takes a village, right? I would say, like, just from the outsider's perspective.
Totally.
And with that too, with being able to produce all these shows that you have, what has been maybe one of your favorite shows that just like everything just kind of came together so seamlessly, or maybe not seamlessly, but it came together?
I'll tell you, you know, every show, it's like you're saying, which is my favorite child. Of course, my favorite child is the one sitting in front of me right now, but you love each show for a different reason. But there's a show that we produced just before the pandemic off Broadway called The Other Josh Cohen. And I had done Summer Stock with one of the writers in the 90s. And I just thought, Steve Rosen is his name. The man is a genius. I mean, he walks in the room and you're already laughing. You don't know why. He's just one of the funniest people I've ever met. And when he had written this just wonderful, heart-tugging, beautiful, like boisterously hilarious musical, I was like, I would be honored to produce that. So we were the lead producers of The Other Josh Cohen. If you happen to be in Denver right now, you can see it because it's running at the Denver Center. But it ran off Broadway, had a beautiful run off Broadway. Stephen Sondheim came to see it, which was a very big deal for us in the theater because he's musical theater royalty, and the New York Times loved us, and the audiences just went on the journey. And that play, that show will always have a very special place in my heart.
Oh, and it is actually a really good show because I did see it with my whole family.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So definitely go check it out if you're in the Denver area like me. And speaking of all the plays you've done, I want to acknowledge that you've won a Tony Award. Can you speak to that?
Sure. Actually, for one play and for one musical, we earned Tony Awards. Our first Tony Award was for Angels in America, which was a revival of a play that had opened in the 90s and was one of the first plays that I had bought myself a ticket for right out of college. And that play means a lot to me and a lot of people in the theater community. So to be a small part of the revival as a co-producer was a real, real honor, and it's a work of art. It was a 7-hour, two-part show that even my husband wanted to see. So there you go. There's my endorsement for Angels in America. And then our most recent Tony Award was this past season for Moulin Rouge. And Moulin Rouge, you know, it did that crazy COVID journey that we opened in the summer of 2019, and then Corona hit in March of 2020 and shut down Broadway. And then we had a delayed, very delayed Tony Awards ceremony this past September. So Moulin Rouge was actually awarded 10 Tony Awards, and one of them was our category for Best New Musical. And that was thrilling because Moulin Rouge is now running in Australia. It's just started previews in Chicago for the national tour. We're running in the West End. We'll be able to see licensed productions in Asia and in Western Europe soon. So it's just, it's a runaway train. People are going to be able to love that show from around the world.
That is so exciting and so amazing what you've been able to accomplish and be a part of as well, because like we said, it's a whole community. It's not just one person, but you play a huge part in that. So I think that's just important to acknowledge. And I know you mentioned earlier you have one of your children with you right now, but being a mom, how has that played a part of being an entrepreneur and being able to integrate all of the things that you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, first, you should probably know that we border on irresponsible parenting. But what that means is we get kids who are very independent and responsible for themselves. So my 12-year-old trots around Manhattan. He knows the subway system better than anyone. But, you know, we had seen a very early reading of Dear Evan Hansen long before it hit Broadway. And and I just fell in love with that show. And I thought, oh, my girls aren't, my teenagers aren't old enough to see this show yet. But by the time it gets to Broadway, they will be. And so I felt like, let me just put small investment into Dear Evan Hansen so that I can help in a little way get it to Broadway so that my girls can see it and have that uncomfortable conversation about social medias for good and ill, and let Ben Platt and the team at Dear Evan Hansen explain it in a way far more effective than I can. So sometimes I'll look at a show's viability through the lens of motherhood, and that one happened to be a really fortuitous one.
I love that, because I do think sometimes it's easier to hear it from somebody else or hear it multiple times from other people outside of parents, of course.
Yeah, whatever I tell them not to do, they'll do pretty much.
It's like reverse psychology. And how has it been with just growing up? Because I know you have teens, they're all teens, because the youngest is 12, right?
Yeah, good.
From what I remember. But being able to just even your journey of like being a producer and being in that world, but also being a mom, like how have you been able to balance parenting with that?
Yeah, well, I have a tendency to invite my kids into everything I'm doing. So for example, last night, Ben and Ella, my two littles, went to go see Wicked because Ben hadn't, and that was just wrong. And I remember it just so happened that Ben's birthday, September 23rd, was our opening final dress rehearsal for Moulin Rouge. And so that was his birthday gift, going to a show that you can't get a ticket to. If you don't know someone, you're not going to the final dress rehearsal. I don't think he got the enormity of that, but someone in the theater world would be like, you went to a final dress rehearsal where, you know, it's just raucous and it's all friends and family and it's pure love radiating from the audience. So he loved it.
Oh, I love that. And I think too, it's quite the experience because not everyone, like you just said too, get to experience such an amazing opportunity and realize it maybe later on who will, but the magnitude of it. But I think too, it's exposing kids to different aspects of life. And it's through just culture and arts. And we don't always experience that. But in New York City, you get to see that so much more, even though COVID has shifted a lot of things. But I still think like things are coming back, if I'm not mistaken. Like shows are back on.
Yeah, we've got half our theaters filled, and we have another 16 shows that are opening in the next 2 months.
What? I mean, not very busy Broadway, woman.
Broadway has another. So yeah, we're really excited. Funny Girls in rehearsals right now.
And what's Funny Girls about? For those that don't know,
you might know it. It was on Broadway last over 60 years ago, and it was a vehicle for Barbra Streisand. And it is about a girl who does not look like a typical star. And because she's hilarious and she has big dreams of stardom, she gets everything she wants, more or less. There are famous songs like I'm the Greatest Star, and people from Funny Girl, I'm sure we're going to have audience members singing along. It has, and it's a film as well, so it has generations of people who just fans, legions of fans.
This
time around, it stars Beanie Feldstein and Jane Lynch, best known as Sue Sylvester on Glee.
Amazing. Yeah, you know, it just sparked, like, I've seen the movie years ago, but that's going to be a phenomenal play. I can't, it comes out when again, so people know when it comes out.
So we start previews in mid-April, and we're going to open April... Yes, I'll get back to you. I have 29th in my head, but somewhere around mid to late April, you'll be able to.
Well, we'll definitely link it below so people can check it out directly to support, because I think it's important. But I know I could ask you a million more questions, but I wanted to get into the rapid fire questions so people can get to know you a little bit more.
Sure.
I know you're going to do great with this. the first question is, who is your hero?
Well, I have a couple. The first one's my mom. She knows how to do all the things I don't know how to do. I don't know how to do mom things. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to sew on buttons. My mom, she's mastered all that stuff. And I guess my other hero, if I had to think about it in terms of theater, would probably be Mandy Patinkin, because you know him as Inigo Montoya, You Kill My Father, Prepare to Die. But in the theater, we know him as Che in Evita. And I love that he balances real profound talent with humility, and his humanitarian efforts as well are so inspiring. He's just on the right side of morality, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely an amazing human being. what motivates you to work hard?
I don't. I'm not good at work. Case in point, I don't know how to cook. I play hard. But I make sure to really love the things I play at so they become work. Like I would rather, on a day off, I want to go see a show. I want to meet with friends who are in the theater. I want to celebrate live theater. I want to do all the things that most people would say, oh, that's what you do for a professional. Don't do that on your day off. No, that is my day off. Every day on is a day off.
I love that. And that was one of my questions later on. So you just like made it very easy, because it's true. It's what do you do on a day-to-day basis? And I think that's the point of it. Really, how are we incorporating our lives and work and balancing that out and integrating it? Because I do think it's important to enjoy life and not be working so hard. But how do we work smarter? Which it sounds like you do. if you were a superhero, what would be your power?
Oh, I would want to know in advance what shows would resonate with audiences. That would save us a lot of work.
No, duly noted. Universe, respond.
Please.
That would be a really cool superpower.
That would be handy.
I think so. If you could share a meal with four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Well, the first one would be each of my grandmas. So one of my grandmas I don't really share a language with. So we communicated, and I would go over on the weekends and hang out with her, but we couldn't really talk to each other. And then my other grandma developed dementia when I was quite young, so I never really knew her. So I definitely want to hang out with my grandmas in their heyday in a common language. And then also I'm kind of into women who break barriers. So Fanny Bryce, the lead character of Funny Girl, is based on an actual performer named Fanny Bryce, who just bold as brass and sassy and unapologetic and fabulous in her time during vaudeville, pre-Broadway. I would definitely want to hang out with Fanny Bryce, follow her around a little bit. And I think my fourth one would probably be Golda Meir, because we do share a language, even though she was the prime minister of Israel, American, because she was, you know, she was very much a woman in very much a man's world.
Well, it sounds like a powerhouse meal that would be happening. I'll say that. I love it. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Oh, when my eldest kid turned 18, I said, anything you want for your birthday. Don't ever say that. And she said, yeah, let's go skydiving. I'll go skydiving. You want to come? And I said, if you're jumping out of a plane, I'm going to catch you. So we went skydiving together when she turned 18. I did it. I don't need to do it again. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was weightless. It was magical. It was all the things. Did it.
I love that. I actually want to do that too. It seems very daring. That's why I want to do it too.
It's fun. You should do it. At your age, you should totally do it. Don't do it over 50.
No. Duly noted. What is the phone app that you use the most?
Phone app that I use the most is the phone. I'm very old school in that respect. So I actually make a lot of phone calls, and I even prefer to meet people. So in order, it's meet someone in person, COVID notwithstanding, meet someone on Zoom, have a phone conversation with them. And then if I absolutely must, text or email, but I only try to do that for follow up after a meeting in person or on Zoom or face to face or by phone.
Well, that makes sense. It's, people say it's old fashioned, but I do think it's that connection, that human connection of really hearing a person's voice or seeing them. That's the closest thing we can get to it. But I definitely think that's something that needs to be utilized a little bit more.
You can borrow my phone anytime.
Thank you. I'll call you. To get it. What's the last book that you've read?
I am very inspired by Andrew Yang recently, and I just read his book Forward, because I'm having a little trouble with the political system in America right now, and I think he provides some bold potential solutions. I know that's beyond the scope of my industry, but it's the book I just read.
Hey, you know, I think it just gives us different perspectives of different situations, and, you know, it can only increase our knowledge base, no matter if it's in our industry or not. So I'm adding that to my list. So thank you. If somebody were to play your life in a movie, like as an actress, who would it be? Or it could be a Broadway play.
Oh, thank you. Christina Applegate. Not too many people. I love Christina Applegate as an actress. Not too many people that know that she played Sweet Charity at Sweet Charity on Broadway. And she was great.
I didn't know that either, but now we all know. And why her out of all people?
Oh, because I feel like she's someone who you'd want to be best friends. And she'd probably be a great enemy too, but like someone who you'd want to pal around with. And I feel like I grew up with her because of Married with Children. And then when she was on Broadway, I was like, this is my spirit animal.
Which is actually my next question. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Oh, man, good doctor. I am a Leo, and I really am. Like, where is my red carpet? Don't get me mad. You will hear me roar.
I love it. See, I knew this is why I liked you, Sue. We're both Leos. No, I could see that. A lioness, very like strong willpower, but also protects everyone around her. It's true.
You and me both, kid.
Yeah. And then what's one thing that instantly makes your day better? At everything that's going on, that automatically makes it better.
That comes to mind. When any of my kids FaceTimes me, it just says, I just wanted to make funny faces and I love you. I'm like, rock on. But then if there's someone on the subway, it doesn't happen so much during COVID, but pre-COVID, if there's someone on the subway who is expressing their art, bring it. Even if they're not good, I don't care. If they've got the joy, if they're dancing or if they're playing cello or whatever they're doing, that's a lot of happiness for me.
Oh, it's the simple pleasures in life, but seeing somebody perform and really step into their power, even if they're good or not good, but they're doing their passion.
I didn't ride the subway for good. Maybe the show I read the subway to is for good, but I like the entertainment value on it.
There's definitely a lot of that, at least in New York. Can't speak for anywhere else, but what is one of your favorite family recipes, if you have one?
I don't cook, but I'm a really good eater. My mom makes these Hungarian sweet sour meatballs for my dad's family. My dad's family is Hungarian. My mom was raised in the States. So she really made an effort to make the stuff that my dad grew up with. So her Hungarian sweet and sour meatballs, they're the thing.
Good to know. It sounds delicious. And my final question of these questions is, what is somebody, an outsider, wouldn't know about the industry that you're in?
Probably how long it takes to get a show to Broadway. You know, by the time the show opens on Broadway, we've spent between 2 and 10 years putting it together. But, you know, the audience doesn't know that. They just think, poof, the show appeared on Broadway. But yeah, there's a lot of development that goes into it. So, for example, with Burlesque that we're working on right now, it took some time for our team to get the option to produce the show, and then we're going to do a reading in London in the spring. Then we'll do a workshop in New York. Then we'll be at a regional theater in New Jersey in the fall of 23. With an intended Broadway bow for the spring of 2024. So by the time it gets to Broadway, we have spent years hanging out with that show.
That's incredible, of like the amount of work that goes into it, because people think success happens overnight, and that's never the case. Clearly, you're hearing it right here. It does not happen overnight. That's awesome. Great. Well, Sue, thank you so much for joining today. But before I let you go, please let everybody know where they can find you, where they can find the shows. I'm going to link it below, but where people can connect.
Sure. So our website is infinecompany.com. We always want to find ourselves in fine company. And Larry, my producing partner, and I have some producing webinars on there, because people always ask, like, what does a producer do? So during the pandemic, we entertained ourselves by doing some producing 101, producing 102 webinars. And then I am not really on social media except to post things that make me happy. So I would say In Fine Company. We just started an NFT company for Broadway, and that's museworkslabs.io. And we'll be launching that this quarter, which is so exciting and a great way to bring the Broadway community together to celebrate collectibles and to maybe create some more awareness of what's happening in theater on Broadway with a new audience. So that's been very exciting.
Oh, I'm so excited for you guys. I know this is just the beginning. Even though you've been doing it for years, it is the beginning.
Every show.
Yes, every show absolutely. Beginning. It is. It's a new chapter, a new book, however you want to put it. But thank you again, Sue, for taking the time today to share your wealth of knowledge, and especially in the Broadway world that isn't talked about enough, I think. But thank you again for coming on today.
You are invited to Broadway anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Iskovitz.
And everyone, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow the shows, because you're not going to want to miss them. Thank you again, and we'll see you on the next video.